Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you. Lord, we need you today more than we did yesterday. So much happens from week to week, Lord, and from night to morning. So God, we just ask that you would speak to us now through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. Thank you for the blueprint. Thank you that you haven't left us comfortless, Lord. But you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us your word, Lord, so we can successfully and victoriously navigate our day-to-day affairs, Lord, our day-to-day business, Lord, our day-to-day journey, this journey of faith. Help us to trust you with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways, Lord, that you will direct our paths. God, we need you, and we need to hear from you this morning. Speak to us through your word. We open our hearts, our minds to receive, Lord. Open the eyes of our and the ears of our understanding, Lord. Give us spiritual discernment to hear your word, God. Thank you that it's more than information. Thank you that you give us revelation. And then, Lord, we're praying for transformation. We don't want to walk out here and be the same. So we thank you, we bless you, and we need you. We acknowledge you. You are the true and living God, and there is no other. Bless your people to hear. Bless your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in the series, The I Am. Seven I Am statements. We're on the first one where Jesus tells them that I am the bread of life. It's also said, and we'll get to it, that he's the bread of God. Wow. Refreshing and renewing for our soul.
Yes.
Sister Catherine so powerfully saying, something missing. We've gone after the physical bread and now we need the spiritual bread because there's something missing. Amen. It only comes from Jesus Christ. So just as a coin has two sides and both are valid, Jesus has two sides, two natures, both valid. Luke presents Christ in his humanity as a son of man. John portrays Christ in his deity as the son of God and God in the flesh. So as I'm studying this family, it's no way around it, these I am statements. Jesus is letting us know that he is God in the flesh. John's gospel is not topical. It is topical. It's not chronological as the other gospels. Revolves around seven miracles, seven I am statements. So just starting off, Brother Chris, take us to John 1:1. Family, in a world that's constantly changing, been having dialogue with people and they just don't understand that Jesus Christ is God. That he resurrected, split time in half, so that our sins can be forgiven. People don't want to hear that type of preaching. That type, it's basic. I mean, family is basic, but people don't want to hear it because then you have to deny yourself. You have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. So John starts us off and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it. Then take a look at John 1:14. The darkness doesn't want to understand the light. It's somewhat frustrating trying to share the gospel with people and they just don't want to get it because the light exposes darkness. The darkness doesn't want to be exposed. It doesn't want to change. But family, we've been called to teach and preach the gospel and make disciples. Amen. That's our purpose. Our methods are different, but that is our purpose. Everything else, we have to use our platform to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. God gives us a platform. And why does he give us a platform? Because we have to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. I'm reading the book of John. I'm studying this and I'm trying to figure out, God, what are you saying? God is saying that there are people dying going to hell every day. And that's the end game. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's it. Everything else is a distraction and a subtraction. That's the end game, Sister Tony. That's it. And so I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to say, but I don't want to offend people. I don't want to get on people's nerves. But then you think about the end result. Somebody's dying, going to hell. And that's that. If we do really believe what the word is saying, that's the biggest game going on. Not Golden State versus Toronto. Amen. That's not the biggest game. The biggest game is that God is trying to win your soul, and Satan is trying to take your soul. And I say game in a sense of this is what this whole thing is about. And we're caught in the middle of it. God is trying to show us how to be successful, which means we're saved and reaching and teaching and saving others. Satan is trying to distract us. So much social media, I have it written down. What did I say? In a world filled with 24/7 distractions, a computer disguised as a phone that never goes off. Let me say that again. Your phone is a disguised computer. It never goes off. We've talked about it before. Some of us in here, we remember when TV went off, when you had to go sit down, be quiet, and read a book, sit down, be quiet, and wait for dinner. That's right. It wasn't no microwave.
Thank you.
It wasn't. And you know what you did? You went and sat down and you'd be quiet. Otherwise, you learned the hard way. Next time, I'm going to sit down and be quiet. In a world filled with 24/7 distractions, a computer disguised as a phone that never goes off. Youth, your mind will never get a break. Research is showing now that watching that computer screen and that phone screen leads to depression and insomnia. And we wonder what's wrong with our kids because their brain never rests. It never gets a break. It's being reprogrammed. Your smartphone will make you dumb and distracted. Somebody say, man, that's the revelation that God is telling us today. Your smartphone will make you dumb and distracted. Amen. That is comical. Amen. We have to make an effort to keep Christ in the number one rank and position in our life. Look at John 1:14. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that come after me is ranked before me. It doesn't make sense. John was born first and then Christ was born. And said, how was he born after you? Oh, because the next line says, look what the next line says. For he was before me, but you were born. How was he before you? But you were born first, because John is not talking about his humanity. He's talking about his deity. Because in the beginning was God. He says he comes after me, but he has the number one rank before me. He's ranked high above. And family, we have to make an effort to keep Christ as the number one rank in our life. Amen. Said he was born after me, but he's before me. Oh, here's another note, parents. Says in my notes, read this. So yeah, I got a bunch of read this because I want to give it to you just like God gave me. But it says, parents, be parents. You have to be a parent. Somebody say amen. Hey, even if you don't want to. I'm not going to ask you how many of you had kids. I'm not going to ask you how many seen a kid. All right, I'm not going to do that to you this morning. Oh, it is the toughest thing. Being married and staying married, somebody say amen. That's number one. That's real life stuff.
Amen. Yes.
when I ain't in here playing no games. That's real life stuff. Because all the distractions and subtractions telling you to do your own thing. And couples that are getting married, research shows that it takes 9 to 14 years to become one. To get out of your selfishness and start thinking about the other. And it says, for the wives, you have to show a ton of grace towards your husband. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Wives, all I'm going to say is you have to show a ton of grace. Cut us some slack, because we're not slow, we're just slower, and some things we just don't get. You all are, you guys are out of the stadium and we're just lacing up our shoes. Show us some grace. We didn't even know it was a race. We trying to find our shoes and y'all already out the stadium. We need a ton of grace. But we have to be parents. So the toughest number two is being a parent. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So here's what God was telling me. God is saying our youth are not wise enough, skilled enough, or fluent in the word enough to resist Satan as he influences them through the computer disguised as a phone.
Yes, that's so yes, true. Amen. That's
true. Let me say it again. Our youth are not wise enough. They are not skilled enough, are fluent in the word enough to resist Satan as he influences them through the computer disguised as a phone. Sometimes you have to take it and say, that's enough.
Yes. Right. Yes.
We got to be a parent. And this says right here, God, please let revival start in our homes and at the house of God. That should be our prayer. So as you're making notes and we do our praying and fasting every morning, God, let revival start in my house. Let it start in your house of God. Because if it don't start here, it ain't real here.
Amen.
If it ain't real in your house, it's not real here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If this is the only time you're praying, then you're ineffective. I'm telling you that right now.
Amen.
What we do here is just an extension of what we do at home in our secret place. So God, let revival start in our home, then let it start here. That's a real revival. So now we pick up the narrative in John 6, verse 32. So we went over last week when they were looking for Jesus only because of the stuff he gave them, some bread. The disciples left, his followers left, and the people who just wanted stuff from God, they looking for him, and then they come and ask him where he was and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus said, you're not following me for the right reasons. So we have to make a note. We're not following Jesus for stuff. We're following Jesus for life. He's the bread of life. Just made it plain to them, and they're still having this dialogue. So then we pick it up at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Yes.
Said, don't get it twisted. Moses didn't give you anything. Amen. Says, I guarantee you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father in heaven has given you the opportunity to have and embrace true bread from heaven, true life from heaven. He is the bread of life. So family, we got to have a mindset shift, a paradigm shift, as they say. We have to know and understand who our source of everything is. Moses is not the source. Your boss is not the source. Your job is not your source. Your pension is not your source. Your business is not your source. Your church is not your source. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's our source. Just making it plain. Chris, show us Genesis 22 and 14. So we make sure that we're clear on who our source is. Have to evaluate myself every day. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. Make a note, Jehovah Jireh. God our provider, that's what that means in the Hebrew. I have to think about this every day. Family, as I'm studying for you all, God is speaking to me. And I have to come to grips of, is God really my source, or is my stuff my source, or my business, my job, my church, anything other than God not being my source is out of whack. Anything that I think is providing me other than God is out of whack. And I have to be man enough to deal with that and then change that. And acknowledge that God is my source. And he provides. And all the other things are good and great. We appreciate our job, our boss, our business, our church. But when it comes down to it, our relationship is with Christ, because he is the bread of life. Amen. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Somebody say amen. See, when you look at it like this, Jesus Christ, he's the bread of God. Not only is he the bread of life, but he's the bread of God. He is our spiritual food. He is our soul food that comes down and gives us life. See, everything else is a distraction and subtraction from that. It comes down to, I'm trying to figure out, so God, what is your word saying? The word is saying that only what we do for Christ will last. Everything else, I got it written down. Let me read it. The bread of God is the person, Jesus Christ, that has come down from heaven to give life unto the world. Isn't that something? He's come to give life unto the world. With something missing, with the void, with death all around us, Christ comes, I want to give you life, and people reject the truth. Because of the spiritual warfare that we're in. To give meaning to this crazy and confused world, thank you, Jesus, for giving life to a lost and dying world. Jesus Christ leads to life. Everything else you and I trust in and worship will lead to death. Unless Jesus is God with something else. The world is a mirage that leads to death. You and I must use our platform to share Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Everything else leads to death. That's a hard word. What do you mean? So, man, but I'm doing all this, but it doesn't save anyone. Jesus Christ is the bread of God. Jesus Christ is the only thing that saves us. You can do all this other stuff, and guess where it leads to at the end of the day? To death. The resurrection of Christ is the game changer. It leads to life plus or minus nothing else. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. Amen. Our works are like filthy rags. Nothing else. God doesn't need anything else but the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ, which leads to life.
Yes, amen.
The world is a mirage that leads to death. Religion leads to death. Politics leads to death. Fortune leads to death. Wealth leads to death. Your career leads to death. You could be the best person on your career and do things throughout the world, and when you die, you go to hell because your career leads to death, because it can't save you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ leads to life plus or minus nothing else. Everything else is a distraction to death and a subtraction from eternal life. God has placed us here to make disciples and teach the kingdom of God to a lost world. Somebody say amen. Make a note of that. For those of you who are taking notes, and remember, I have notes on my notes, so I'm always taking notes. God has placed us here to make disciples and teach the kingdom of God to a lost world. It's not a popularity contest. You might not be liked by many, but you share it in love, but you share it. Oh, and I wrote down something. This is how you share it, okay? You just say, I wrote a script for you. Go to your job, and you get a quiet time with someone, and My pastor has requested us to ask people we love and care about, how can I pray for you? That's it. Put it on me. This is what I'm doing out there, family. At the gym playing ball and all that kind of stuff, game over, sitting down. Hey, man, is there any way I can pray for you? And if they say no, then you say, okay, but you've planted that seed. Come on, Tony, we were talking about it earlier this morning. You've planted that seed, I guarantee you. They're going to be making some kind of way they're coming back. And then you share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Get the conversation started. All this other stuff leads to death. Don't make it weird. Hey, my pastor just kind of requested us to ask people that we love and care about. You get that? See, I love and care about you. How can I pray for you? Oh, man, I never thought of it, but you know, such and such. Okay, good. By the way, what church do you go to? But the message was about Jesus Christ just giving us life. Plant the seed and get on and let God give the increase. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it weird. I have it written here. It says, we are to enjoy the blessings of life in Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've hung out with many of you, if not all of you. We enjoy the blessings. I love it. Love hanging out with you all. We go out, we'll do the movies, we'll eat, and we'll do this, and we'll be silly, and we talk. I won't be silly, y'all will, but I'm always serious. So I'm always serious, Sister Tara. What's been implied here? So we enjoy the blessings of life. I'm not saying be a stick in the mud. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you enjoy them, but don't forget what your platform is for, and don't forget what you are here for. Somebody's dying and on their way to hell. And we got to remind them of who they are in Christ. Because it says, because nothing else gives us eternal life but Jesus Christ. So we get to verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. See, now you got to put it down. Do you believe that? Put a star by that in your Bible. And that's what you got to go home and meditate on. Because if Jesus Christ is the bread of life, then it should change the way that we act and think.
Amen.
And move.
That's real.
If I believe that. I have it right here. It says, family, we have to examine ourselves this morning and ask, do we have this bread? Then you got to ask yourself the other question. Do you want the bread?
Yeah.
It's a free gift, but it comes with the cost. Say, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh, underline cometh, he that receives, he that comes to me shall never hunger. And he that trusts me shall never thirst or never be dehydrated. So you got to receive and you got to trust, as opposed to reject and neglect. Are we so distracted like the world that we will turn our nose up at eternal life in paradise and reject Christ and go to hell? Just because someone writes on a wall or writes on a social media post, rest in peace, doesn't mean someone is resting in peace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if you didn't connect and commit, surrender and submit to the Prince of Peace, you are not resting in peace.
Amen.
But nobody wants to offend anyone these days. And the deceived are dying and going to hell. And we want to make people feel good by writing and saying RIP. When in fact the person didn't have any evidence of a life in Christ. And show no evidence of a life in Christ. Say, so you'll know them by their fruit. It's no fruit. But we're RIP so we can feel good and stay deceived. I'm just telling you folks, I got to tell you like God gave it to me.
Amen.
Share the gospel. Plant that seed, water that seed, let God get increased. You don't have to try and save anyone. That's what God does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Christ leads to life. Everything else is a waste of life and time and leads to death. Oh, my gosh, Pastor, you lost. I know. Christ leads to life. Everything else is a waste of life and time and leads to death and hell. Family, if we're not using our platform to share Christ with a lost and dying world, then we need to reevaluate our priorities immediately. So here's a question. Should you share the life and power of Christ with anyone this week? Just think about it. I want you to raise your hand. Actually, I do. No, I'm just kidding. So, should you share with anyone this week? My family, don't get distracted out there. It's a lot going on. Jesus says that he's the bread of life. That when we come to Christ, we will never lack spiritually or be spiritually dehydrated. We have to receive and trust. Verse 36, but I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe me not. God is saying you've seen him. You've experienced God. You've seen the miracles. You've been healed, delivered, and set free, but you still don't trust him. That's a problem. You've been healed, delivered, set free. You've had an encounter with Christ. God spoke to you through the word. He spoke to you in dreams. He spoke to you through the Holy Spirit. He's spoken to you through other people. Jesus said, you see, but you still don't trust me. We've experienced God working miracles in our life. Somebody say amen. I can't, family, we keep coming back to this. This is a trust relationship. But we refuse to trust God. We tell God that we love him, but we refuse to trust God with our actions. Two major areas. Oh my gosh, Pastor, you out of control this morning. I know, but I'm going after y'all. I'm putting it out there this morning. Two major areas, our relationships and our finances. We will date a number one relationships. We will date an unbeliever and get mad at God for not fixing the other person. When we are the ones living in direct disobedience to God's word.
That's right.
Then we cry and tell God that we love him and ask for a way out of the relationship. The relationship we didn't trust God with in the first place. Because they always start off to a good start. That ain't going to change. Satan going to make sure it gets off to a good start. Let me read it again because y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We will date an unbeliever and get mad at God for not fixing the other person. When we are the ones living in a direct disobedience to God's word, then we cry and tell God that we love him and ask for a way out of the relationship we didn't trust God with in the first place. As it relates to finances, should be 100% tithers in this church. And y'all know, as long as I've been here, we never play games or tricks or gimmicks for money, and we never will. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
There should be 100% tithers in this church. The only reason I don't tithe is because I don't believe God knows, understands, or can handle my financial situation. So I go through this bipolar relationship with God, telling God that I love you, but I don't trust you. And I travel on this spiritual roller coaster of life, trying to figure out why I'm spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty and dehydrated. And it's because I have not trusted God completely with 100% every aspect of my life. I travel on this roller coaster of life, trying to figure out why I'm spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty and dehydrated. Because I haven't trusted God completely with 100% of every aspect of my life. Jesus said in verse, he's telling them the same thing. But I say unto you that you have seen me, but you don't believe, but you don't trust me. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no ways neglect, reject, or throw away. So as I'm going through this, okay, so we got to just analyze. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. All right, so this is speaking of free will. This is speaking of predestination. Is it predetermined that the Father already knows who's going to come to Christ. I mean, that's what it appears to say right here. And then those that come, he says he will in no ways cast out. So it's two schools of thought. Some say everything is, we have free will, which we know. Then others say, no, it's predestined. God already knows everything is going to happen. Either way, we need Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Either way. But here's the deal. Since you and I don't know who is and who isn't, God knows, because God knows everything. We need to get out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people are living less than they are. People are frustrated in life because they haven't surrendered 100% to Christ and they haven't connected with Christ. Where once they get plugged into the source, it changes everything. People are being deceived by Satan daily because they don't know who they are in Christ. We got to get out and spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said he'll never neglect you. He'll never forsake you. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So make a notice, will versus will. See, because initially no one thinks that they need God or think that they're that bad. I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday. He's not that bad. Okay. And you know where I go, I just go right to the sin. So what do you do with the sin in your life? What covers your sin? Because you can't tell me man to man, my men in here. You didn't tell me you don't sin. So I just went right there on him. So what do you do with the sin? Well, I know. I know. Because the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. We can't pick and choose. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. What do you do with the sin? It's just right there. I led him right back to the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ cleanses from our sins. I'm not going to get into all this other stuff. Who wrote the Bible and man wrote it and you could write it. You could write the Bible. Man, I can't get in. Oh, I can't write the Bible. I can share the word of God. But it's already been written. What do you do with your sin? Because initially none of us thinks that we're that bad or we need God, but that's not the truth. Verse 38 again, for I came down from heaven not to mind my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So I make a note, we got to be obedient to God's will. We have free will. You and I have to make a choice to choose life or reject life and choose death. Either way, it's your choice. We can't do our own thing. We must be obedient to the Father's will, just like Christ. Here's God's will, to seek and to save those that are lost. All right, let me wrap it up. Amen. Can I wrap it up? All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he has given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Underline, raise it up again at the last day. That talks about the final judgment. That talks about Jesus Christ being your representative, being your counsel, being your lawyer at the last day, at the final judgment, and representing you and I. All that God is giving him, Jesus is going to step in, be your counsel, and make sure that you go right to eternal life. This is the final judgment. And we'll look at that in just a minute in Revelation. But look at God's will. Chris, go to 2 Peter 3:3-9. I'm trying to wrap it up, family. I am. But I let me complete the picture and then we're out of here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you the complete picture. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Is that where I want to start? 2 Peter 3 and 9. No, let's start at 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Somebody say amen. You ever know what we want to do, what we're going to be doing up in heaven? We're going to be there for a day. It feels like it's going to be 1,000 years. Obvious, that's going to be something really special. That's going to be something really special. But here's where I was trying to go. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long God is so long suffering. Don't ever think God is tired of you confessing and repenting of your sins. Don't ever think that God is tired of you because of what we did, you and I did, or what we thought. God is so long suffering, it is ridiculous towards us. Why? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will for your life. Stop beating yourself up. Because we're struggling with this and that. God is long-suffering. That's not a license to sin, but just know the nature and the character of God for his children. Amen. God don't want nobody to die and go to hell. We discriminate against God. God doesn't discriminate against us. God is just patiently waiting for us. I was listening to Greg Laurie the other day, and he said part of the 1970 Jesus movement, they were praying that Christ would come back in 1970, I think it was the year. They were kind of disappointed that God didn't come back, but then he asked the congregation, how many of you got saved after 1970? Anybody get saved after 1970? Aren't we glad Christ didn't come back in 1970? Somebody say amen. So God is waiting. Why is God allowing this? God is waiting because there's people who got to get connected, yep. Got to get saved. We still have work to do.
Yes.
I didn't get saved until 1981. I'm sure glad he didn't come in 1970. I was in trouble. That's why God is so long-suffering. But look at verse 10. I mean, this is just a bonus thing we're trying to get out here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens and the earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. You talk about global warming. That's some global warming for you. That's some global warming for you. I bet not see you at a rally to prevent global warming. It's already been prophesied. This thing is going to burn up. Read your word. It's supposed to burn up. It's supposed to get hot. Yes. God already told us that. And we got to stop global warming. Really? God just said it's going to burn up. So the other side is that coin. And so why am I trying to hold on to all this stuff? All we doing is hold on to it for somebody else. That's all we doing. Your house, you just getting it ready for somebody else. And then eventually it's going to burn up. So who cares? It's going to burn up. Brother Anthony, what's the only thing we take to heaven with us? The other people. It's the only thing we take with us to heaven is other people. And I have to come to grips with this. You and I, otherwise, we'll be ineffective. We won't share the gospel because we'll be intimidated by someone that's deceived and going to hell. And we have to have revival start in our house, then the house of God, and then we take it to the world. Assignment that we're going to close. My pastor has requested or instructed me to ask people who I love and care about, how can I pray for you? We'll pick it up the other place next week. So if you would, just bow your head quickly. God, we got to walk out of here and live like we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are the bread of life, that you refresh the soul, that you renew the soul, that you save the soul. We thank you for our physical food, Lord, but where will we be without our spiritual soul food that has saved us? God, don't let us ever lose sight that we use our platform, God, to share Christ with someone. The world is searching. They're empty. They're lost. We watch the news. This thing is falling apart from the top down. Then eventually it all just burns up, and Revelation 21 says there's a new heaven and a new earth. Then we're with God for a day and it feels like 1,000 years, and we're with God for 1,000 years only felt like it was with God for a day. That's eternity. That's the end game. So I guess a day apart from the Lord is going to feel horrible, and that's hell. So God, don't let us forget our mission, our purpose. Our method is different, but don't let us forget our purpose, God. It's about reaching, using our platform to share the good news of the gospel with anyone who will listen. We thank you for the challenge this morning, Lord. Not just information. Thank you for the revelation. Now let it lead to transformation. Simple question. I love you and care about you, and how can I pray for you? Then, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I didn't know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I didn't know Jesus is the bread of life. So distracted, I don't know if I'm saved. If you're here this morning and you don't even know if you're saved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. You want to be sure that you're rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. Pastor, I've been so distracted. I've been in everything but God. But we thank God that he's long-suffering. God is saying, don't even trip. I've been waiting for you. And I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to reject you. I don't care what you did. Jesus Christ died for your sins, plus or minus nothing. You can't do nothing to save yourself anyway. Receive the free gift. Is Jesus Christ dying and resurrecting plus or minus nothing? God said, I've been waiting and I love you. And you are mine and I will never cast you out. I don't care what the world says about you. They didn't die for you and they never will. So if you need to rededicate your life and get connected to God, that's between you and God. That's just heart to heart. You don't need to raise your hand. Just raise your heart to God. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we just read he's long suffering. Just waiting with his hands folded, not even tripping. So I died for you. Come on back home. And then let's get to work. Because there's folks that you can reach that I'll never reach without you. Get back on your assignment. If you need to rededicate, that's between you and God. Let's cast our sins in the sea of forgiveness. Might have to separate for some people. Might have to cut some things out to rededicate your life. But it's all worth it. Someone needs you. You're going to run into someone this week and share the gospel with them. They need you to be on point. It's your will versus God's will. Share the gospel. Pray for them. Then if you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I never really officially joined. I'd like to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're not members. We are family. We are members, but we're family. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to join with us this morning. We love having our South Bay Abundant Life family. It is such a blessing. We don't have to be on this journey alone. God, we need you and we need each other. Thank you that we don't have to journey alone. It is tough out there. God, it is tough out there. Thank you for a family to journey with. Lord, we love you. We bless you from the worship to the word. Heal your people. Deliver your people. Set us free from the opinions of other people. Set us free from the distractions and the deception of the enemy. We need you today more than ever. Let us meditate on this word daily. Let us read John 6 every week, every morning this week. One scripture, two scriptures. Let us fast and pray each morning, and let us share with someone, how we can pray for them. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dead.